This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football. Energy drinks. Beer. More football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
Happy Monday to you out there. Hope you enjoyed the Terrence Paylor Show with Brandon and Kylie. It is must-listen-to radio. If you missed any of it, 610sports.com. On demand, the Terrence Paylor Show. Great stuff, as usual. What a tough game to kind of chew into yesterday. We're at these crossroads here between, is this still a Super Bowl caliber team, or they just an average team? Well, look around the NFL. Look what happened to the Falcons yesterday, beating the Saints. Who saw that one coming? I certainly didn't. Neither did a bunch of my coworkers. We all went down in flames in the Survivor League on that one. Didn't make any sense whatsoever. Things don't make sense. Didn't make sense when the Chargers held the Packers to 184 yards a week ago. Didn't make any sense at all. But that's the National Football League. But definitely some things to shore up with the Kansas City Chiefs. If you haven't heard, Emmanuel Ogbah will undergo surgery. He's my dude. Emmanuel Ogbah is excited about this. Former 32nd pick in the draft. Basically a first rounder. But remember, the Patriots had to forfeit that pick. He was showing up for the Kansas City Chiefs and showing out, and Emmanuel Ogbah was having a good year. One of the best run defenders and run stuffers, in the AFC West. Look at Pro Football Focus. Those numbers don't lie. Emmanuel Ogbah was producing. This will be a loss for the Kansas City Chiefs and already weak defense. So anyway, Ogbah's gone. Great addition. Love that addition that Spagnuolo did. Loved watching him in college. I love the player that he could be. And again, he's a producer. When he was in Cleveland and he was out, teams averaged another yard per carry on the same side as Ogbah. He does do well against the run. He'll be missed on a defense that can't stop anybody on the run night right now. Jackson Barton from Utah, seventh-round pick, was signed by the Kansas City Chiefs. His brother plays for the Seattle Seahawks. He was picked up on the practice squad. You know how this works, right? The reverse of Ryan Lilje. Ryan Lilje, once on the Chiefs practice squad, picked up to the active roster of the Indianapolis Colts, and the rest was history in a Super Bowl ring for Ryan on that deal. But Jackson Barton comes over. Martinez Rankin put on IR as well. So it was a costly game for the Kansas City Chiefs. But let's be honest. This defense, and I've heard people up and down. I mean, even Show, I'll go ahead and mention Show. He called me out, so I'll call him out as well. He didn't believe this defense. He assigned liabilities to offense, defense, and special teams. And I don't see how we can look at this and think that this defense wasn't a major part of it. The Titans scored 35 points. How long did they have the football, Kramer? It's Kramer, the Kramer dog in here. 22 minutes. Save you from looking it up.
I actually knew it, Bink. Thank you.
And well, I get it. One of those is a defensive touchdown. I get it. Fumble. Still, you take that away. 28 points in 22 minutes. It's more than a point a minute for the Tennessee Titans in that game. And the fact is, the offense did score 28 points in about 22 minutes, time of possession. That is incredibly efficient. So we can sit here and say, well, the Chiefs made some good stops. What happened at the end? What happened at the end? Tannehill jammed it down their throats. What happened when Green Bay was here? There was 5 minutes on the clock. Andy Reid trusts the defense. He gives the defense the ball. They didn't use Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers didn't beat you. Tannehill did more to beat the Chiefs yesterday for the Titans than Aaron Rodgers did for the Green Bay Packers. He only threw the ball one time on that final drive. It's unbelievable. Saw an amazing stat this morning on ESPN as Rex Ryan was kind of ripping on the Chiefs defense. And you know what? It was legitimate, to be honest with you. Everything he said was legitimate. Chiefs are giving up 94 yards a game. 94 yards a game in the second half. It's the most in 25 years. I can't believe it. Did you hear what Mike Vrabel said about this defense yesterday? He's the head coach, former Chiefs player, the head coach of the Titans, the one with the mustachio, better than yours, Kramer, not going to lie. Here's Mike Vrabel after the game talking about the Chiefs' defense. This is crazy. Listen to this.
But when we were able to do that today, he ran physical. He ran hard. It was not easy early, like a lot of games, and our ability to stick with it there in the second half, I think, really made the difference when we were able to pound out 10 and 12-yard runs, and then ultimately watching them guys, you know, leave the game or be on a knee or be tired or banged up, you know, walk in the end zone.
He called them out. See those guys tired, leaving the game, bending on a knee. He was calling them weak. He's basically saying we walked into the end zone. We wore them out. We wore the Chiefs' ass out. Again, 94.9 rushing yards in the second half against the Chiefs. Say what you want. Pat Mahomes, this offense, you want to say, hey, they need to score more points. Well, you know, they average, what, 28 points a game as it is. Now, it's a full touchdown less than last year. Last year, they averaged 35 points a game. It's a full touchdown less. But things are different with injuries. Hopefully, the offense, we have this dream. Remember, this isn't the first-ranked offense in the NFL. It's not at all. There's only two teams that average over 30 points a game, and that's the 49ers, or not the 49ers, the Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens. But the defense bends the will of your team. You can't make stops at the end of the game against Aaron Rodgers and put Pat Mahomes out there. You saw what Pat Mahomes had time to do. He got the team in field goal position like that yesterday. That's what he's trained for. And again, I think way too much pressure is put on Pat Mahomes. And we'll deal with this in just a little bit because I heard other people saying it. Other people in the national media, like Phil Sims, he sees it. Colin Cowherd sees it. All the pressure put on one Patrick Mahomes. But Mike Vrabel just said it right there. Let's hear this again. This is a head coach. And keep in mind, he's friends with Andy Reid.
But when we were able to do that today, he ran physical. He ran hard. It was not easy early, like a lot of games. And our ability to stick with it there in the second half, I think, really made the difference when we were able to pound out 10 and 12-yard runs, and then ultimately watching them guys, you know, leave the game or be on a knee or be tired or banged up, you know, walk in the end zone.
Hey, walk in the end zone, tired, banged up, on a knee, leaving the game. Not a ringing endorsement. Frank Clark, by the way, called out the Chiefs as well. Frank Clark via James Palmer from NFL Network. This is his tweet. Frank Clark told me as he left, the Chiefs defense came out soft on the final drive and the Titans came out more aggressive than they did on a drive. Clark also said they didn't expect Tannehill to come out and run as physically as he did today. Soft. It's about as worse as you can call somebody there. Frank Clark, of course, dropping that bomb after the game as well. This is from Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star. Clark told the Star after the loss Sunday in Tennessee that he's been affected by a pinched nerve in his neck since the end of training camp. It was 2 months ago. I've been playing kind of timid this whole season, says Frank Clark. It's shown. That's why I've been kind of slow. I've had a pinched nerve since the end of training camp. I've been playing through it. It just got to the point where this crap was so serious, I was sending burning sensations down my arm. My two fingers were going numb. A lot of crap going on. That's bad. That's hardcore. He is tough. Give the guy a break. He's trying to play through it. I give him credit. He's not on the sidelines. He's trying to play through this. It's not an easy injury to get through. Here's some of the best in the history of the game playing defense had to say about this Chiefs team. Here's one, Deion Sanders, NFL Network.
The defense is horrible. I believe they're 31st versus the run. That means every team could run on you at will. And guess what that does? That keeps Mahomes on the sideline when they're eating up the clock. That's what that does. And you know, you don't understand how it feels for somebody to just run right at you, up the gut at you. It demoralizes a team. Uh-huh. And the offense is sitting there like, guys, come on. You got the quarterback taking on the linebackers. And look at that. Henry is just bulldozing people, just running through people. And he told me, you know, he told me, when you see these guys on the schedule with this type of run defense, you cannot wait. You take a Lamborghini to the game. You don't take an Uber. You cannot wait to get to the darn game because you know the outcome and what it's going to be.
When you can't stop the run, you lose physicality. And I get it. There's a lot of people out there that say, oh, you got to win by throwing. We get the best passing quarterback in the NFL in Pat Mahomes. He's lost three of his last four games. Chiefs have four losses. Ravens are 7-2. What do? They run the ball all the time. What do they do against the Patriots? Ran over 200 yards. But analytics will say you have to throw the football to win. Common sense will say you run the ball, you stop the run. That's how you win rings. Here's Rodney Harrison, one of the greatest safeties ever, Sunday Night Football last night.
And this is why I don't like the Kansas City Chiefs going deep into the playoffs, because their run defense is not very good.
Boom, just like that. How about Tony Dungy chiming in as well?
I didn't understand Kansas City in this last stretch. All this man coverage, they need a touchdown to win. They just gave up all these big plays.
Just sit back in zone coverage, read the quarterback, and make the play.
And then to make matters worse, that was Tony Dungy and Rodney Harrison on NBC on Sunday Night Football. Joshua Kalu, who blocked that kick.
The cadence. Been doing the same cadence the whole game. I kind of got a key to it. I was getting closer and closer, and I made a play when I needed to.
It's Joshua Kalu after the game, Titans.com. And then one thing is, it was predictable. I mean, these are the little things you have to correct. You don't want to get out-coached by Frank Reich. You don't want to be out-coached by Bill O'Brien and the Texans. You don't want to be out-coached by Mike Vrabel. This was a game the Chiefs should have won. But we could sit here and say, well, we're kicking too many field goals. We're lining up with way too many field goals. That's fine. You know, points are points. And points do help you win in the National Football League. And, yeah, it was an errant snap from the Chiefs, and Colquitt, you know, threw the ball away, and he shouldn't have. But, you know, it's a punter throwing a football, big deal. That stuff happens. And, you know, you get in place and you get your kick blocked. But if you can't stop anybody, they take your will. The Chiefs had the ball for 38 minutes, man. This offense was on the field the whole time. Defense should have been fresh, rested, ready to roll. They didn't get four sacks. I'll give them credit. They got four sacks. You know, Chris Jones is a man-child in this game. The Titans came into that game with 38 sacks, giving up the most in the National Football League. They should have gotten sacks. Taylor Lewan, after the game, their tackle, you know, was blaming himself, all the penalties he got, and saying he's costing his team. It's been an open freeway to get to the quarterbacks in Tennessee. The problem is, should have got to him late. Shouldn't have let Ryan freaking Tannehill beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That's embarrassing. And what Derrick Henry did, bad things, man. 8.2 yards per carry. He almost ran for first down every time he touched the damn ball. You can't do that. Be physical. And then, you know, there's a play floating around. You know, Cam Irving getting pancaked by a corner. Man, I know that's on offense. It's an offensive line. But seriously, it's time to get more physical. I think they could do it. We saw what happened in the Vikings game. That needs to carry through. Having said all that, the Chiefs are going to win the West. Not only that, the Chiefs, it takes another team's A game to beat them. That's the good news. It takes the A game to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs have shown that they not only can lose to anybody, but they can beat anybody as well, which makes them dangerous going through the stretch. Joining us next, Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, ArrowheadPride.com. We do it every game, every day after the game. We call it Pete's Points. Next.
Bink at Night.
And welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Binkley with Kramer, the Crame Dog, producing the operation. Joining us now, my co-host on the Kansas City Chiefs post-game show, Pete Sweeney. Also here, Sween Dog, every 2 hours before every game with Kent Swanson on the Arrowhead Pride tailgate show. We call this Pete's Points, and I know he's been waiting all day. Good evening, Pete.
A lot of anticipation for this moment. I'm just happy it's finally here.
What are you doing every day, every week, Pete? You come on every week.
Every week I wait for this. This is it. This is the highlight. So let's get to it. I'm excited.
I am too. Are you joining me tomorrow at the blood drive at the Community Blood Center? I had heard whispers that you were at 11:30, so we can argue with Ron.
Yeah. I think it's 11:20. Is it 11:20? 11:30? Whatever it is. But
whatever.
Yes, I'll be there and it's live and in attendance. Are you going to give blood tomorrow?
Sure, if you do.
I'm not doing it. I just don't want to pass out. That's my one thing.
Right.
I am all for the cause for people that can handle it. I don't know if I can.
Well, then I'll man up and do it since you won't, because this city needs blood, so I'll do it, Pete. I'm a little bit surprised and disappointed in you, to be honest with you.
Hey, but you can give two pints.
Hey, when we argue with Ron, he called out you, he called out me, he mentioned us both about how we were in other people, how we were hammering the defense so much yesterday, and I just spent 15 minutes, you know, rattling off stats. Chiefs give up almost 95 yards a game in the second half. It's the worst in 25 years. 8.2 yards a carry. They were just running all over them. Is it fair or not fair to pin a lot of this loss on the Chiefs defense?
think it has to be, right? I mean, you get to a certain point here. We talked about it all offseason where if the Chiefs could score points, which we know they can do, and you score 32 points in a game, then the Chiefs defense should take care of the rest. Patrick Mahomes with over 400 yards, the offense as a whole with over 500 yards. Whose fault is that? I mean, you look at this, there were a lot of problems on both sides of the football. There are problems on special teams. There are mistakes all over. But if you're having to pick, how could you blame the offense in this game?
There's no question about it. Pete, well, you listen to a lot of 610 Sports Radio throughout the day, and you read what people are – it's your job. I mean, you basically put out what people are saying about the Chiefs. What do you think is the most under-talked about thing from yesterday? Is it Frank Clark in the pinched nerve situation? Or could it be Frank Clark calling his defense soft on that final drive? Or is it something else?
You know what's gotten, I just think, a little under-talked about? And it's because the Chiefs lost. Yeah, those stories aren't really being discussed as much. But it's that Patrick Mahomes looked so good. And him being on one foot still looked like at least one of the best 3-4 quarterbacks in the league. And that would have been the narrative if the Chiefs had just won and they maybe don't make a mistake by making a bad call on 4th-and-2 or one of the mistakes with the field goal where the cadence, I guess, was too similar all day where the guy was able to time it and block it, or you get the miscommunication between Winchester and Colquitt. If one of these things doesn't happen, then the story is Patrick Mahomes, isn't it? Like, he's on one foot. He's only going to get better. He's going to be back in the MVP mix before we know it. But instead, here's what we're talking about, is just, what is this Chiefs team?
Are you a little bit surprised that Frank Clark, I mean, when you have a pinched nerve in the neck, I mean, I'll give the guy credit for coming out there and playing. That's not an easy thing to do, especially when he's got numbness in his arms, including his fingers. I mean, that's tough, and he's asked to play. You know, Ogba's down. You know, Frank Clark becomes imperative now for this team.
Right, and I don't like what we're getting from the organization right now. There's just really, like, no clear-cut explanation of what's going on. This came out from Frank Clark. He was only on one injury report before. It was week 8, where he missed weeks 8 and 9. He was on the injury report with the neck week 2, so... Did he go from week 2 to week 8 without any treatment, or was he just not on the injury report? Because either one is not a good situation. What level is he at? Should he even be playing? Can he be effective with this ailment? There's just a lot of questions that are going unanswered right now. Andy Reid was asked in the conference call about it and really didn't give us much, just basically said that head trainer Rick Burkholder is watching the injury. Again, there's a lot there. I understand. The Chiefs are now, you know, not without Okafor. They're without Ogba. But at the same time, is Frank Clark in a place where he can be effective? I know he has 4 sacks in the year. But you look at yesterday, like, Chris Jones caused that sack. That's just a stat in the box score. Like, how effective can Clark truly be? Is it something that can improve? Or should he even be on the field? It's a situation with not a lot of answers right now.
You know, and the bottom line is, you know, the Chiefs are up to 4th in the NFL in sacks right now. So they're able to manufacture it, even after dealing with all the injuries that they're dealing with. And here's the one thing, too, Pete. I mean, we're sitting here with the Chiefs, and I was thinking about this today. I was talking to somebody about this today, and I got to thinking, and I asked a question when someone said, this team is not who we thought they were. And no, they've been injured a lot more than what we thought or hoped. But the bottom line is there really a team that the Chiefs can't beat? Now, they're in a precarious situation because I believe they can be beat by just about, but maybe 2 or 3 teams in the AFC. I mean, things can happen, but they can also turn around and beat everybody else as well. That's what makes them kind of a scary team.
Here's where I am on it. I think going into yesterday, you had high hopes that Patrick Mahomes would play well. Again, the defense, to me, it just didn't show up in big spots when you need them to show up. And I look at the NFL, and you're right. I think the Chiefs can beat everybody. It's a matter of will they. I look at that game yesterday, and you could clearly run on the Chiefs. If you read my article on arrowheadpride.com today, Mike Vrabel came into that game saying, we're going to run. Everybody kind of knew that the Titans were going to run, and then Derrick Henry, who had one 100-yard game, runs for 188 yards. So it's to a point where I worry about this team in that the offense almost needs to play a completely perfect game for the Chiefs to beat good teams. And, yeah, I think they can beat any team, but it's going to be a matter of Patrick Mahomes and the rest of the offense playing perfectly, and that includes guys, running backs not fumbling. That includes, okay, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, great players, but they can't have these drops because the defense is just not a reliable enough part of this football team for the offense to make up for it if they have a mistake or two. It's not, you're not getting enough from both sides of the football. And the Chiefs really need to consider on special teams having Tyreek Hill as punt returner until Mecole Hardman can figure it out, whether that be in practice or maybe next year. Because you put Tyreek Hill back as punt returner all day yesterday, this might be a completely different football game.
100%. And these wins are starting to matter now with the Raiders right on their heels. You mentioned Mike Vrabel's comments. People can check it out, arrowheadpride.com. You can read the full context. Here's the audio of what he said. Now, just again, your reaction on this, Pete, because I think this is very damning.
But when we were able to do that today, he ran physical. He ran hard. It was not easy early, like a lot of games. And our ability to stick with it there in the second half, I think, really made the difference when we were able to pound out 10 and 12-yard runs. And then ultimately watching them guys, you know, leave the game or be on a knee or be tired or banged up, you know, walk in the end zone.
That's the quote you had there, Pete. Once again, the part at the end there, you know, about guys on their knees, guys leaving the game, walking in the end zone. I mean, that's an indictment on their physical shape right now.
Yeah, I mean, that is bulletin board material. Like, if you're Tyrann Mathieu or Frank Clark, you put that up and say, this is who we are right now. This is what we're doing. And even if you look at the numbers, look back at this game and you dig into it, there's 12 minutes to go in the game. The Titans have the football. They're down two possessions. And on their drive, they're choosing to run the football 8 times on the drive. They're choosing to run the clock because the run is so effective against the Chiefs right now. That's what they're choosing to do. They need to catch up in a game where time is running out, and they're saying, we're going to prefer to run the football. That is how bad your run defense is right now. And Agba's now out of the mix. You're lucky that Jones is back in the mix. You got to figure this out, and I'm eager to hear what Steve Spagnuolo has to say this week. It'll be a day later on Friday because of the way the schedule works out with Monday Night Football. But, man, it just, you don't feel good about the Chiefs' defense right now as what they talked about being in the offseason, which is a strength. There's no team where the running back has better production than against Chiefs right now in the NFL.
And the one thing about it too, Pete, is, I mean, it's those things, those comments by Vrabel. It's Frank Clark telling James Palmer that the defense came out soft on the final drive. I mean, I know they got leaders. You know, the Honey Badger's a leader. Frank Clark, you know, is a leader. You know, this is happening on his watch. You know, he was brought in here to be a badass, not only with his words, but his actions. And why is everybody soft on the defense? Right. I mean, the offense has your leader. It's Patrick Mahomes. He's basically the team leader. But to me, I see leaders on the defense. Someone's got to step up and take it, man, because we haven't seen that. This defense has been bad for years, but they've been calm. There hasn't been these type of quotes, but we're starting to see a little, you know, a little ribbing with some of the players.
And it's not week 3 or week 4 either, or 2 games past the midway point of the season. We got 6 games left here. The reality is, and again, I believe this is true, it's never as good as it is or as bad as it is. Not as bad as it is right now. Like, the Chiefs can come back from this. There are legitimate concerns, but you see it in the NFL every year, right? If you can figure out a way into the postseason, if you can figure out a way to win your division, yeah, you might have some losses on the way, but if you're playing your best football in December, that's what it matters. We've had seasons over the past few in Kansas City where the Chiefs look really good early, and then by the end of it, they're not playing as good, not playing some football. Well, you're not going to have that problem this year because you need to tune back into that good football. So if the Chiefs can figure it out, get some wins along the way, take care of Oakland, and then be clicking in December, doesn't matter what your record is. Everyone's 0-0 in the playoffs. The sky isn't falling, but there are legitimate concerns to be addressed.
That's Pete Sweeney, arrowheadpride.com. He's the editor-in-chief. Say hi to Big Pete, your dad. He's texting in. He asked me where you were, if you're studio, and I said, no, probably at some bar.
I'm at home right now enjoying Monday Night Football, but I appreciate that. Big Pete will be here in a few weeks for Thanksgiving. I think he's really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm wanting to see Big Pete and chug away with him. All right, Pete, take care, my friend.
All right, good night, Pete.
There you go. Binks, or Pete, Pete's birthday yesterday. Pete got him a six-pack.
Good for him.
Variety of beers, you know, to try. We, you know, let him have a taste of some of the stuff that's good.
Yeah, that's beer. That's very good.
Yeah, beer day. Keeps the doctor away, right?
I think that's how that works, right?
I guess.
Is that life advice right there?
I guess. But am I crazy here? I mean, you know, you don't. James Palmer had this quote. I haven't seen this, and I haven't really seen many people. But James Palmer, NFL Network, put it out soft. Like, that's one of the worst things you can call a defense, man. Like Charmin or something. It's one thing for us in the media to say, but it's another thing for a player. This team needs leadership on defense right now. Maybe Pat's got to take over the whole thing. I'm going to talk about all the pressure on Pat next.
Bing at night.
Welcome back to Bing at Night. Jay Binkley, Kramer the Kramer Dog. By the way, happy Veterans Day out there to everyone that served our country. Seriously, if you're in line at Quick Trip, you're at a restaurant, thank them, man. Just come up and thank them for what they're doing. I mean, we talk about a game. Football's a game. What they did is life, man. Those are the real heroes, man. Those are the real heroes. The men and women of our armed services that lay down their lives for us to have games like football or to be able to talk about football at night, it's those that serve our country.
Agreed.
Many thanks to all the veterans out there. Like I said, you see them, you know, whatever you can afford remains, or, you know, if you can afford to buy their dinner or whatever, by all means do it. Please thank them. Thank the veteran. Just a simple handshake, a high five, whatever you can. Thank them for all that they do, because it is Veterans Day. And we appreciate them from the bottom of our hearts. Kramer Dog and me and many, many, many others. We thank you for what you've done. Let's go to talk to Reggie right now in Anaheim. What's up, Reg?
Hey, man. I've been listening to most of the shows all day. And, you know, I've had a night to kind of sit down and, you know, let it, you know, sleep on it. And I think I still come out on the end of this. This was Separation Sunday this past Sunday in many games. And I just feel like the Chiefs did separate themselves, but not in the way that I think we all would have wanted.
Did Atlanta separate themselves, Reggie?
No, Atlanta is still trash. But,
New Orleans crapped on themselves.
But we're not talking about Atlanta, though. We're talking about the Chiefs.
Can you imagine how pissed we'd be in New Orleans right now that a one-win team came in and punked us?
But how many losses does New Orleans have? They only have like
two
now, right?
That was the second one yesterday. I lost my damn Survivor League because of it. Punks.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody in New Orleans is concerned about your Survivor League, Blink. But listen.
No, they should be concerned about that damn team.
Nah, I mean, they only have two losses. The Chiefs now have four. And three of those losses were definitely avoidable losses. The Houston one, the Indy one, and now this one to an inferior opponent.
That's the thing about it, Reggie. That's what makes it so frustrating as a coaching staff. The Chiefs do not get blown out with Pat Mahomes. They don't. He's been within a touchdown of every single team, and the only reason it was a touchdown was a Seattle game. In Seattle, tough place to play. Everything else has been within one score. Pat Mahomes has kept his team so close. That's what's so frustrating, that it's a play here or there, and those three fumbles the last 3 weeks hurt. The nine fumbles the Chiefs had this year, second in the NFL.
Yeah, well, I mean, my point is then, and I agree with you, so that brings me to my point, I'm not even mad. And the reason why I'm not mad is because this, you know, they just show me that they're just not the team that we think they are. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. I do think they are a playoff team. They should win the West, but then again, that's no foregone conclusion with how they inexplicably drop games that they shouldn't. But I think they'll.
You know what, though? The Raiders like doing this too, though, so look for them to do this too.
Well, hopefully they do, but again, we're not talking about the Raiders.
And their schedule's crap, by the way.
Well, I know. But again, back to the Chiefs, though, what I'm saying is that the defense is, at this point, they are what they are. They're consistently inconsistent. You can't depend on them. And what's unfair is that now we're saying, well, the offense has to be all world every week. And that's just hard to do. Even with Kareem Hunt, that's just hard to do. And especially if you don't have the other unit picking up some of their own water. Now, for the last 3 weeks, they were doing okay, but then they reverted back to bad defense. So my point is that as Chiefs fans, We should just accept who they are. They aren't the team that we think they are. And if they do, by some chance, do so happen to get to a Super Bowl or do anything of that, we'll all be pleasantly surprised. But I'm not expecting them to get to the Super Bowl. I'm not expecting them to get the 2 seed or the 3 seed. I'm just expecting them to get into the playoffs and maybe get to the wild card. But that's it, man.
Thanks, Reggie. Good call. Good call. Here's the thing. Again, take a look around. What's in front of you? Not a lot. I mean, the Chiefs still have the Patriots on the schedule. You know, the very winnable games for the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's be honest. I thought they could have run the table. Could have run the table easily. But that was ruined with the Titans. But here's who the Raiders have coming up. Not exactly juggernauts. Versus the Bengals at home, at the Jets, then at the Chiefs. Versus the Titans. But that's a home game. Versus the Jags, home game. At Chargers, at Broncos. Again, but the Raiders do find a way to Raider. And Kramer knows this. The Raiders do find a way to Raider.
I do. They had a strong first half, though, schedule.
Yes, very strong. Let's go to Neil and Lone Jack. What's up, Neil?
Hey, Jay. Good evening, man.
How you doing?
How you doing, brother?
Good. You?
I'm okay, man. I'm angry. I'll tell you that. I was going to call you last week, and I never got around to it. My call last week was going to be, I was so excited about this game coming up because I feel like, almost felt like it was opening day again, you know, with having the whole basically offense except for Fisher, healthy kind of at the same time. And with defense having played better the last few weeks, I was expecting an all-around game. I really was. I was expecting to go down there and kick their butts and have – and so I just – you know, Reggie, I know you're listening, and I think it's perfect timing for me to be following you, man, because I got to say, Reggie, I respectfully totally disagree with your point of view, man. I mean, I understand that you
– Oh, we got a call out.
I understand that you've changed your expectations for this team, realistic expectations. I know that's what you're saying. But my point is, I haven't changed any expectation. We have Patrick Mahomes. We've had 2 years to change this defense. The expectation is Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl. It still should be Super Bowl. And I think sometimes Chiefs fans wind up accepting a playoff. You know, we wind up accepting a playoff berth, and we wind up accepting loss in the division round. We're better than that now, and we should be expecting Super Bowl. And the fact that this defense and the whole team all around just can't get it done, it's not just the defense. The defense is, you know, you and Pete were talking, by the way, happy birthday, Pete. You and Pete were talking about the game and saying that, you know, if you have to blame somebody, blame the defense. And I agree, the defense is more at fault for the loss yesterday. But everybody, I mean, you've been listening all day, too. And, you know, Andy's to be to blame, too. You know, I think Fesco was the only one that brought it up this morning that Anthony Sherman could have been a really perfect option for that third down and two. I didn't hear it hardly at all last night on the postgame show. I was kind of surprised by that. Andy Reid, what's wrong with Anthony Sherman? Was he not active yesterday? I mean, is he not a good option to pick up 2 yards when we absolutely need it?
Well, I would rather LeSean McCoy be active for this game. I know he fumbled, but he had 6 touches the week before. This whole resting LeSean McCoy, I'm not buying it. First of all, he tweets out when he gets to Nashville, wearing a suit. He tweets out a picture, says business. You don't do that if you know you're going to be sitting.
I'm not buying it either, Banks.
Play, it's 31. It come on.
I think it's ridiculous. And the other thing that I think is ridiculous is why are we just now in week 10 finding out? I think it behooves the team and the general manager to come out earlier and talk about Frank Clark having a neck injury. I mean, everybody's been wrecking the guy all year long because he's not playing up to his contract. Why have we not found out until week 10 that he's been hurt since training camp?
Good call there, Neil. Here's the thing about it. Now, it could be gamesmanship as well. You don't want people to know he's hurt. You're protecting the player. And again, it's so difficult with injury report. He's been on the injury report before. He was in injury report week 2. He sat out a couple games. People know he's hurt. But it's one of those hard things between gamesmanship, a player's personal matters, and what needs to be public and not public. I don't know. It's a tough deal. But I do believe they put a lot of pressure on Pat Mahomes. You know, I do. I've been saying this all year. All this time, they're leaning way too much on him. Phil Simms on CBS.
Kansas City ran 78 plays today, but they're never worried about the clock. You're right there. They don't look at it. Now, when Matt Moore was playing, it was a whole different thing. They were managing the game in an entirely different way, and you got Mahomes back there. You know, it's like you can drive the ball 350 yards. You don't want to pull out a pitching wedge. Let's just hit it.
You what? You put way too much pressure on him. This defense looked great in his absence. But they don't show up when he shows up. This team can be so complete. And that's the thing. Listen, Baltimore looks tough. Chiefs beat the Ravens. They could beat the Ravens again. The Chiefs could beat the Patriots. The Patriots are beatable. You know what, though? It takes a tough physical team to beat them. The Ravens ran for over 200 yards on them. Ingram goes for 115. Was it just Lamar in that game? But he poses a real threat. But they ran the football. And they're a physical team. The Chiefs got to toughen up. If they're going to waltz into Foxborough in the playoffs, they got to toughen up. It can't be this crap where Derrick Henry walks right through you. Vrabel even said it after the game. That was their plan. It was slow at first for him, he said. Then they kept running. They kept going 8.2 yards per carry for the Titans. We'll get back on this Mahomes theory, and I'll take your phone calls next.
Big at night.
Welcome to Big Night, Jay Binkley and Kramer, the cream dog, trying to digest this Chiefs-Titans game before we look forward to the Chiefs and Chargers, a pivotal game, Monday Night Football in Mexico City. At least we saw Mahomes come back and look great, man. Jump pass, you name it. Man, this team missed Mahomes. See if that defense can finally step up. Let's go to Leroy. What's up, Leroy?
Hey, I just want to say about the silver lining. They know that they got to run the ball. They need to just run the ball. If you look at, telling my age, how Green Bay Packers ran on the Chiefs in the first Super Bowl, run the ball. Run the ball. Run the ball.
we got a Sooner reference?
Say again?
No, I'm with you, man. I'm all about running the football. You know, Leroy, I mean, that's exactly what. Chiefs 24th in running the ball, 90.8 points a game. Eighth fewest attempts in the NFL. They don't run it that much. And people say, well, Andy doesn't run the ball. Nah, I disagree. Kareem Hunt led the league in rushing. Who do you play for? Kansas City Chiefs.
Is it Andy too concerned about the running game that they have right now? Like, what, they have five running backs on the roster?
Yeah, the problem is he's got Damian Williams shows the promise at times. Again, you know, 50 carries in a season is the most he's had. They ran a 4.45 at the combine. The guy's extremely quick and a good receiver out of the backfield. Kareem Hunt gave this team stability. They missed that dog. By the way, someone said, well, Kareem Hunt didn't fumble. He did fumble. Remember against the Patriots? He turned it around and he played great. He's back now, by the way, against Buffalo yesterday. Four carries, 30 yards. 7.5 yards per carry for Kareem. Seven catches, 44 yards for Kareem Hunt and the Cleveland Browns as of yesterday. But I do believe they put too much pressure on Pat. You know, they wait for him to do everything. And his defense does, the way they play. You know, they played great for Matt Moore. They played extremely good for him. That Vikings game was absolutely perfect. Yesterday, it wasn't just the defense. I believe the defense, a majority this year, the offense scored enough points to win. Shouldn't let Ryan Tannehill beat you. That's an indictment. Giving up 8.2 yards a carry is an indictment. Using the same snap count, that's a special teams faux pas. Mecole Hardman returning punts where he shouldn't be returning punts, letting it go over his head. It's on special teams. Yeah, we can blame everybody. In this offense, you know, you haven't had everybody in sync yet. They're averaging 7 points a game less than they did last year. You know, we're talking about the world's greatest offense. You know, offensively, total offense, they're third. I mean, we're not looking at a team that's first. Points per game, they're fifth in the NFL. It's not the team just leading by far and away. All these different stat quarters. We'll talk to my Monday evening quarterback, Kent Swanson, arrowheadpride.com, at 8 o'clock. Let's go first to Lenny. What's up, Lenny?
Hey, what's going on, Bink? How y'all doing tonight, man?
What's going on, Lenny?
You got it. I agree with the caller that just called. I mean, everything is attitude. Run the ball. I mean, everything that could go wrong that day went wrong. I believe that our Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid needs to hold everybody accountable, man. Like, he needs to be like, hey, go do this and just hold people accountable, man. And I told my partners, like, week four, I said, Frank Clark is hurt. I said, I knew he was hurt even before preseason games. I knew he was hurt. He's not the same Frank Clark, and I listen off air.
No, you know what? He destroyed. I like Frank Clark. Always have. I was glad when the Chiefs got him. You know, I won't go back on that. I was extremely happy that Frank Clark came here. He's relentless, man. You know, his story, great example, you know, overcoming. You know, Frank Clark's relentless on the football field. You know, he's a terror. He's a feared guy. He got paid. But, yeah, something was wrong because in St. Joe, he looked good. He looked real good. He looked damn good. And, yeah, I was a little bit surprised. But, you know, can't feel two of his fingers. That's the NFL. That's what these guys go through. And he's going through that. But regardless, this team just keeps letting people jam it down their throats. It's like that Packers game. Very winnable. This is the same Packers team that only had 184 yards of offense the next week. The next game in L.A. against the Chargers, only 184 yards of offense. That's running and throwing. They weren't efficient at all. But that's the NFL. And right now, this is the way they want it. A lot of inconsistencies with the NFL. And the other thing that's showing his ugly head is penalties. You know, last year this team number one in penalties, number one in penalty yards. This year they came into that game 18th in penalties, 10th in yards. But things are trending in the right direction. Going back to the Denver game, just penalized six times for 46 yards. Three penalties for 30 yards against Green Bay. Four for 25 against Minnesota. That's only seven penalties combined between the game of the Packers and the game against the Vikings. 9 for 80 against the Titans. So two more against the Titans than they had in the previous two games combined. It's the little things, you know, the snap count. You know, they judge the snap count and block the field goal. These are the little things that just can't happen with this football team. And it's Joshua Kalu, the guy that blocked the kick from the Chiefs.
The cadence. Been doing the same cadence the whole game. I kind of got a key to it. I was getting closer and closer. And I made a play when I needed to.
Joshua, wasn't he almost singing? The cadence. I thought it was like a mixtape. No, he mentioned it like three times. It's the cadence. That, taking punts. Not letting them go over your head. Not having your gloves on. By heart, just the little things. You know, this team is 6-4. 10 games have been played in the National Football League. It's the little things like that that bother me with the Chiefs. Things that can be cleaned up. You know, it's tough enough to beat the Chiefs, but as I think Vern was saying it today, you know, the Chiefs can beat the Chiefs, and they have. I mean, nine penalties is fumbling the football is beating yourself. Using the same snap count, beating yourself. Fielding punts inside the five, beating yourself. Giving up 8.2 yards per carry. Letting an NFL head coach say this after a game. Mike Vrabel.
But when we were able to do that today, he ran physical. He ran hard. It was not easy early, like a lot of games. And our ability to stick with it there in the second half, I think, really made the difference when we were able to pound out 10 and 12-yard runs, and then ultimately watching them guys, you know, leave the game or be on a knee or be tired or banged up, you know, walk in the end zone.
See, I agree with Pete. You know, this should be bulletin board material from the Chiefs. That's Mike Vrabel, Titans.com, right after the game. What did an NFL coach say about you? You know, you got Frank Clark saying that on the final drive they were soft. You know, where's the leadership? You don't have this on offense. And, of course, the offense not going to say because they're good. And you got the MVP. The defense needs the dogs. They need the leadership. You know, Honey Badger told Pete and I in an interview right after he signed. We were down at Arrowhead. He's like, you know, Pat said, hey, man, I need you to take over the defense. You know, where's Spags? I still like this coaching staff. I love this coaching staff. Brendan Daly, Matt House. You know, they can't do it all. They need the players to step up. Like, we need leadership on that defensive side of the football to where the mentality, just like the caller said, the mentality, you know, being physical, punching in the face, not Cam Irving getting blown up by a corner, 200-pound corner. It's those little things, setting the tempo for the game, being tough, physical, nasty, like they worked against the Vikings at times. Stephon Diggs came in averaging, he had 7-7-7, catches 140 yards plus in the three games leading up to Chiefs, shut him down, one catch, 4 yards. That's the kind of tough mentality that they need to get. But not all's lost with this football team. Don't think for a minute. Again, what are they saying today in New Orleans? What are they saying in Indy after losing to the Dolphins? What are you saying then? Just when you think you're bad, others have it worse. We talked to Kent Swanson, arrowheadpride.com, Monday evening quarterback next.
Big at night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.